you don't want to make this guy your warlord.
Welcome to the FTN Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge of the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined this afternoon by Red Powell.
Hello.
And Adam Camilleri.
Hello.
We are the Ball Swaps Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Going to talk about Space Wolves today.
The good old puppers of the 41st millennium.
Successor chapters.
I know. Fluff-wise, this is a very new thing for Space Wolves, isn't it? Isn't it they're notorious for resisting having any successes? They're staunch believers in keeping what Lehman Russ built intact.
Yeah, I think this is actually the most revolutionary thing in this book, is the fact that they have successor chapters. I don't know of any successor chapters that exist at this point in time, because they had not existed beforehand, but this does break open the doors on creativity on something that had been historically locked down for this chapter.
I seem to remember, was it Carcharodonts? Space Sharks? Were they rumored to be Space Wolves successors? I can't even remember. There was one like that. There's one in during the Bad Abs that was like, maybe I'm making that up.
I don't know that you are. You could be right, but I think that maybe would have what made that... Wherever you read that, so shocking at the time, because that would have been, you know, the only known one.
So if you and just to dip in the toe into the lore here, the books, the Carcharodon books, and I'm sorry if I just butchered that, but you know me, I tend to do that. their gene seed is arguably, by lore, chimeric, almost a combination. They might very well be. You can debate whether or not they were Raven Guard. You can debate, which is what Forge World suggests or recommends that they use. They could be Raven Guard, they could be Space Wolves, they could be, I mean, there's a whole slew that they could possibly, you know, they could be some might argue that they are a imperial purification of Night Lords even. So it's very interesting stuff to get really excited about when you talk about Carcharodonts. But to go back, I think the books hint that they're chimeric, that they're almost a blend of other gene seeds.
Mm. They're the perfect Count's Ass chapter.
The perfect.
It's actually what I do in my Luna Wolves is that, you know, storyline like, oh, the Luna Wolves are the best. They're great. You know, they're awesome. They could do anything. They could fight in any warfare, and they mix their squads together to perform any tactical option. I'm like, you know what? That's going to be my Count's Ass army.
It's weird how they've managed to give so much depth and fluff to a single faction. Like, I mean, I suppose by making it like there's a 10,000 man Space Marine chapters, it really just leaves it wide open and eschews or overshadows any other single faction's breakdowns or whatever.
But still, but like, even
it's freaking cool.
Yeah, all the cursed foundlings and all the plethora of Space Marine chapters, there's only ever been Space Wolves, you know, for
exactly right.
Space Wolves. They have their 13 companies, you know, that basically have their own traditions and don't necessarily succumb to the Codex Astartes or anything. So yeah, it's just neat that it can officially exist. I think that I don't want to say that like Crusade made this happen. This is probably going to happen regardless, but I think this for people that are playing Crusade, it certainly opens up even more doors for them, you know, a thousandfold more doors.
Yeah. And so I've had a pretty good, pretty deep look through that codex cover to cover now. And it's an interesting one. I haven't read the fluff, though. I'm going to read the fluff probably pretty soon. There's one question I've always had about Space Wolves, and I'm sure one of you guys or someone in the comment would be able to ask me, but I'm a huge fan of Black Templars, massive Black Templar fanboy, ever since my third edition Armageddon Codex. And are they another faction that's eschewed, like the completely eschewed the numbers requirements for chapters? Like, if they've got 10,000 Marines still?
Yes. You're talking about Space
still
Wolves?
Like, yeah, Space Wolves. Are Space Wolves still Legion strength?
I believe that they are, but they keep it concealed within the great companies.
Yeah, that's kind of been the thing, which is, like you said, you know, so cool about this successor chapter concept, because really they've just had the great companies. I don't know if they have like Legion strength of old, because that's just so many, but I do know that they've definitely exceeded they are definitely not just a chapter by
not a thousand
means.
Yeah. Well, there's actually of the first founding, there's actually only a handful that are like strict adherers to it, and like Dark Angels, they don't adhere to it. If they like, they have all the successor chapters, but all the successors answer to Azrael. Like, when Azrael clicks his fingers, they all jump. They might as well be Legion strength. Templars are not Legion strength, even though they're second founding. So they didn't even have a Legion technically, but you know what I mean. And like even Ultras, like they all answered to McCragg. I mean, he wrote the Codex, but all the like Nova Marines, they answered to Khalgar when he asks. They all, you know, it's kind of a...
The Blood Angels do exactly what they're the actual heroes here.
Sanguinius was a good lad. He was a good dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm pumped to see the successor chapters, and I'm curious to get feedback from Space Wolf players. What do they think about this? You know, because it's, you know, would this rub them the wrong way? I don't know.
I don't know either. But it would feel weird for them not to have it now that they're all this amalgamated, single, working from a single codex, a single platform. But then again, like, I mean, they've been pretty willing to put in other restrictions. Like, you can't take Vanguard vets if you're Space Wolves. You can't take Stern Guard if you're Space Wolves. So I guess, yeah, interesting. Maybe this is a new direction for them.
You have your own equivalents, though, and for those things.
What do you think, Red? You play the closest equivalent to Space Wolves. Actually, you play their, Chaos counterparts.
You're talking about is Khorne? So
yeah,
what
baby.
I mean...
Pissed off a lot of people. Stand.
Well, I mean, fluff-wise,
leading
right,
the witness.
Like, yeah, exactly. I feel very led on here. When it comes to it, fluff-wise, I really enjoyed the introduction of Magnus had everything to do with the Space Wolves, right? Like when Magnus showed up in 8th edition, there was a whole deal behind that, like how he showed up bringing the planet of sorcerers back. And essentially it required this massive scheme that went down on Fenris and it tricking the Dark Angels to come in and essentially participate in something as close to Exterminatus. And then the whole Wolfen showing up. And I mean, I think there's a lot to it. You want to get me on a corn trip, but I think that
Don't fall for it.
I know. Unfortunately, you know, they did a really good job with the lore and the wolves. You know, there are no wolves on Fenris kind of deal. And arguably, if there was anything to it, I mean, if they were succumbing to anything, especially with the mutations, I mean, there's so much irony in some of the unfortunate parts of the Space Wolves and their flaws, like the wolves and all that other stuff, the Wolfen and their mutations, that like T'Zinch has to obviously be in play to some extent. And so there's some real chaos levels of irony in effect there.
Slightly changing tacts. How do you guys feel about Santa on his sleigh? Old Father Logan.
Look, so one of the most aggressive and fun armies that I've ever played had Logan in it. And it was Garden Space Wolves. I can't even remember what edition this was. Maybe 6th?
Yeah, so pre-sleigh.
Yeah, it was pre-sleigh. And it was he was pre-sleigh. Such a beefcake. Come down with him and several Terminators. Like, you know, the relic would be in the center of the field. Pick up the relic and then walk into my enemy's deployment zone. Just laying fools down with the relic and holding it till the end of the battle. That's how beefcake Logan was. But now he's riding a sled.
Logan's a freaking legend. He's one of the oldest written Space Marine characters in the entire game. On top of that, he played some real pivotal roles. First War of Armageddon, he was against the censure of the mortals. He's just been like an all-round good dude to the people of like the galaxy, whereas a lot of other Space Marine chapter masters couldn't give two s.
Well, that's where I think that he hasn't gotten his due because, you know, the Salamanders are known as the protectors of humanity or whatever, but like, what have they done? It's actually the Space Wolves.
Well, Salamanders do a really bad job. They catch the bullets. They catch the bullets, like, meant for mortals. The Space Wolves just kind of, like, stop them dying. It's you know, two different philosophies.
I don't like the sled. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I think, and plus, it just seems... It seems awkward rules-wise, too. Like, there's so many things that had just never have worked out for the sled. But I think that Logan is pretty cool. I think he's slightly hamstrung by... I mean, the warlord trait that you have to pick for him is Aura of Majesty because he's the king and they gave him the Aura of Majesty because, hey, whatever. And there's just a much better warlord trait. So I think that the warlord trait and the fact... You can just build a better character. I think
I agree. I think if you take him though, you can't take him as your warlord. You're absolutely right. Either that, or you got to purchase other warlord traits. Firstly, I'm not a huge fan of him as your warlord because he is a targetable character. He's a character over 10 wounds.
Well, on the sled he is. You can take him without it, and he's 7 wounds.
But then he's not on the sled.
You're not selling the sled. I don't think that's good.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the sled aesthetically. There's so much other stuff out there that, like, I'll say character wise, I think it's pretty cool. I think what's kind of the key thing to that is that character wise, like, think of some of the parallels you can draw between him and Dante, for example. Super old, managed this chapter for an extensive period of time. I think that's really cool, and I think that the player gets some justice through the rules and the character, but the sled is pretty hard for me to get behind aesthetically.
Dante would wreck this dude whether it's on the sled or not.
Well, so the sled's actually good now. It's actually a good option. It makes him super fast. He can advance and charge. He's, you know, we all know how crazy good he is in combat. On the sled, he gets somewhere, I think it's somewhere in the region of 18 attacks. Or he can, you know, dumb down. He's got his 6 Wolfy Wolf attacks, and he's got a bunch of his...
Wolfy Wolf attacks. Yeah, are the ones that's where it starts to go up a lot in the number of attacks.
Yeah, but the advance and charge, which he never had before, which has been something that's been given to Space Wolves kind of wholesale. You can almost think of it as their, you know, when Blood Angels got their additional advance and charge, it's almost their equivalent of that. They just got the extra cherry on the top to make them do what they're supposed to be, like, amazingly good at doing. And it actually is a bit of a game changer for Space Wolves. It's actually a really big deal. Because notoriously, Space Wolves were killier. They were the killiest and some of the biggest butchers in the absolute game. And it was really kind of crazy how nothing could hold up to these beefcake wolf lords you could make, but the problem was they couldn't get there. There was no way of getting there, which always meant that, like, Blood Angels were better because for a similar amount of points, you could get a character that was comparably killy, was never as killy as those Space Wolves ones, but he could just get there. You could just pick him up, redeploy him, 3d6 charge him from reserve with plus ones and stuff. He was just a better package. But now I'm not sure that's the case. I think the advance and charge is actually a bit of a game changer because, firstly, it means that you can get around defensive screens. You can just run past them, especially if you shoot yourself a hole or whatnot in the turn before. And on top of that, when you make combat, you are still one of the killiest things in the game. It's actually really scary.
Yeah, and there's lots of things that help you make combat as well.
Mm. A huge game changer for them was getting that litany. The plus 2 to charge litany was massive for Space Wolves.
Yeah. So with the... there's also stratagems too. I know we're kind of jumping around, and maybe we should just pick something and talk about it.
We're not done with Santa yet.
Look! It is getting to be about that time of year, so I'm cool with us talking about him. And look, I mean, he's obviously impressive, and I like what he represents in like the lore and what he can bring to your army. I just think that you're right; you don't want to make this guy your warlord because he's not making it till the end of the game if you have him on the sled.
You really think
the sled's the way to go? So you're saying advance and charge. So we'll break it down for me. What's giving him the advance and charge?
So that's the Swift Hunter's rule. Which it gives it pretty much anything that's on a dog, or as a, I believe it's also for the sky claws and maybe what's the biker guys, swift claws. I think maybe they get it as well. But yeah, it's advance and charge. It's literally just advance and charge. It's a special rule on their data sheet.
So yeah, so it's a special rule. It's not assigned to a keyword. As you have the Swift Hunter keyword. This unit is eligible to declare a charge even if it advances turn. In addition, each time this unit makes a pile-in move or consolidation move, models in this unit can move an additional 1 inch.
So that is a big deal. So that's a 4-inch consolidate and pile in. There's a couple other ways to enhance that as well. But where that gets so where the value is because Logan's 155 points on foot, or he's 180 on the sleigh. It's only 25 points for more than, so for double movement, advance and charge, the wolf, the extra attacks, the extra toughness, the extra wounds. It's actually a lot of value for 25 points.
You do takes him up to 14 wounds.
Yeah, you take the negatives of being targetable, of course, which you just got to take in stride. But the advance and charge means that you're going to make combat and get value a lot quicker than a 5-inch moving Terminator.
There are things you can do to mitigate his. I mean, but if you choose to invest in him with psychic powers and stratagems too, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can endorse this, but I'm willing to listen. Listen, I'm willing to be converted.
I'm not telling you he's good. I'm not telling you he's going to be a game changer. I'm just telling you for the first time, you're not going to feel ashamed fielding him.
Okay.
Because he was garbage. He was garbage for a long time, man. remember when he had 3 hull points in 7th edition and one with a crack grenade? He's like, immobilized. And he's like, well, they were fair enough. Oh, well, there we go. Cool. It's 200 points of a paperweight. Of a storm bolter. That's a good value storm bolter. that was an issue back in the day. But now, man, he's a gun. He's a beat stick and he's quick. So I think he's going to get some value. I think he's going to get some use. And on top of that, I can tell you that I know of quite a few Space Wolf players who are just like, I've been waiting for the time when I could use this guy and not feel like he's a joke. And he's not a joke. It might not be amazing, but
the wolves look cool.
Oh, for sure. I will talk about this at the end. This is my little, maybe we'll do not a finishing moves, but Adam's little hobby segment, because I had this pipe dream idea for a Space Wolf successor, which might come to fruition now, but I'm not going to get the time to do it. So I might hand pass it to someone in the chat and see if anybody picks up what I'm putting down.
Nice. So the warlord trait that I was talking about is the hunter.
I know of the one. It's easily the best one in the book.
Yeah. So warlord traits, hunter. Add 1 to advance and charge rolls made for this warlord. This warlord is eligible to charge in a turn in which an advanced or fell back.
And then once he just completes a charge, like if the turn after this guy completes a charge, he gives that in an aura.
So the warlord traits, and then they have sagas. So then each warlord then a warlord trait comes with a companion saga ability that you have to complete a small quest on the tabletop. And then, Adam, go ahead with that.
Yeah, so when this guy completes a charge, it's not immediately after he completes a charge. It's following the phase in which he completes his deed. He gets an aura that pretty much becomes active. Anybody who doesn't have advance and charge gets advance and charge in his aura. And if you already have advance and charge, e.g. you already have Swift Hunters, you'll get fall back and charge. So you become pseudo White Scars on top of already being Space Wolves. It's actually pretty potent, and I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing having watched it go down. I mean, you want to take me back to, again, the corn aspect, being able to plus it up with as much as that they're getting in combat between the assault doctrine and then what their traits are. I mean, it's a huge deal getting that plus to once he can achieve that aura, and you put that on the equivalent of a smash captain or something like that, someone you know is going to be able to get there to make that charge, and then the rest of the guys are right behind him, so that once he makes that successful charge, the rest of, he then extends the aura. That's a huge deal.
I'm excited about that one. I think that's one of the ones. All these are useful. The Aura of Majesty that we're talking about, as you add 3 to the range of this warlord's rites of battle, tactical precision, chapter master, and spiritual leader's ability to a maximum of 9 inches, and then add 3 to the range of any litanies recited by the warlord to a maximum of 9. And then that saga, the Deed of Majesty is at the start of your command phase, this model is within range of an objective marker that is more than 6 inches away from your deployment zone. So not hard to do when you move 25 inches a turn or whatever. Speaking of Logan specifically, and then the Saga of Majesty aura, while a friendly Space Wolf's core unit is within 6 inches of this model, each time a morale test is taken for that unit, it is automatically passed.
So we know Space Marines are turning into a pretty elite army. The only time when you're going to get mileage out of the passing aura is if you decide to take big bricks of Fenrisian Wolves, I think. Which you can take, I think you can take 17, no, sorry, you can take 15 Fenrisian Wolves and then a couple of Cyber Wolves in the same unit. So you can technically have this swarm of like 45 dogs, which is cool. Dog pack is cool.
That's an old way of doing things. You can have 16, so 1 Cyber Wolf and up to 15 Fenrisian Wolves. So each pack could be 16 Wolves.
So, I mean, Logan would automatically make those guys fearless just because he's always treated as having his saga be his deed of being completed. So he always has an aura of fearless. The issue is, though, like, Space Marines just don't get that much out of that fearless. Like, usually you're taking 5 mans. Although, here's my gripe. Are we ready for a gripe or should we stay positive for the
Well, I'm going to say it's difficult even when that Frenzy and Wolf strategy is that it's difficult to get a lot of effectiveness out of that because of the way, like, you have to pull casualties and that kind of stuff. You know, they don't do what they used to do. They're just big attack balls that move 10 inches.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Now your gripe. Go for it.
Okay. So this is something I picked up, and I only picked up on this late when I was going through the codex, but none of the Space Wolf specific units have combat squads. Wolfguard, Wolfguard Termies, Sky Hunters, Swift Claws. Sorry, not Swift Claws because they use the But none of them have combat squads, and all of a sudden combat squads is a big deal. People are leveraging combat squading quite a lot more than anybody else, and I thought it was just a weird thing to leave out of there. I wonder if they did it on purpose or if it's a mistake.
I don't know that they ever really done that. Like the 20, because you could used to have a big fat unit of blood claws, couldn't you? And then they couldn't combat squad.
Right.
Could you?
I don't think so.
You could. You could have, I mean, blood claws could go. I mean, it was a massive squad, like 20.
But mm-hmm. you couldn't combat okay. squad them, could you?
I don't know if you could. I don't know.
Well, now we'll you can't flack on that one if we're wrong.
And I hope it's incorrect. I hope it's a mistake and they just forgot to put it on the data sheets, because it's actually a bit of a pain in a lot of missions, a lot of things. Because I was thinking about ways of Wolfguard with jump packs or Wolfguard Terminators. Well, Wolfguard Terminators, firstly, are one of the most customizable Terminator platforms in the game. I think only Chaos Termies might rival them. But even then, I don't, because they can't take the storm shields that Wolfguards can take. Because, yeah, a Wolfguard Terminator, you can take a combi weapon and a storm shield. You can take a single claw and a storm shield. You can pretty much do whatever you like with them. And doing that and then being able to combat squad them turn one, let's say you have half of them with lightning claws, half of them with thunder hammers, and you want to break that up because you've got a horde you want to hunt and you've got a big thing you want to hunt, et cetera, et cetera. Don't have the option. I feel like I honestly feel like it's a mistake and I just forgot to put it on, but we'll see.
I like being able to include the Terminators in regular units, like, you know, Grey Hunters can take a Terminator.
Oh, I love it. I think that's one of the reasons Blood Claws might be the go-to troops choice over Intercessors, which is a strange thing to say, because Intercessors are just so superior and the ability to get all the gene wrought might and the transhuman physiology. But the fact that you can have it's essentially two storm shields in, you know, the Blood Claws. You can have the pack leader and then the Wolfguard pack leader, and both of them tricked out with whatever you want. You could have these two either butcher guys that'll go in and they'll do a whole lot of damage, which will have an equivalent of however many Blood Claws you have in the unit as ablative wounds, which are now two wounds each. Or you have it the other way around. You have these two guys that are just going to be beefcakes and tank for the rest of the squad. And I like that duality a lot. I like the ability to customize that and just take what is a relatively simple squad of OBSEC models and just make them, you know, two or three times as hard to remove or punch and kill two or three times harder than they would otherwise.
I know we're talking about troop choices in there and they're not the same, but the Frenzy and Wolves have the neg one in on their attacks and two attacks apiece. And
yeah, they're not bad, man.
I mean, I don't know that I would take Blood Claws to a in a large amount and not be looking at Frenzy and Wolves.
So a lot of people in a lot of, well, competitive lists, and we don't talk about competitive lists all that much, but a lot of competitive lists are taking small objective sitters, small action takers, things that'll jump onto objectives and do actions for you that, you know, you're not going to have to use one of your keystone alpha units to do that. And I think Frenzy Wolves fit that slot very well for Space Wolves. 35 points for five of them that move quickly, can advance and charge. They're going to be very good at getting your, you know, line break equivalents should you wish. They're going to be very good at getting your engagement fronts very, very reliably. And on top of that, they can screen out for you in the games where you need them to. And yeah, can do a lot of work at keeping you alive and on the table, stopping you from getting counter-assaulted, things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, with the 10-inch move and the two attacks apiece, neg one, I mean, there's, for a handful of points, I think you could make a lot of worse buys.
What chaos models are you using to kind of do that role? Because I was trying to think about what chaos have to really do that, apart from Nurglings.
It's a Nurglings.
Yeah, apart from Nurglings.
To as far as blocking and holding things out.
Yeah. On top of that, well, the little so there's not a lot of fat you can afford to put into chaos lists at the moment, but you still want a couple of squads that can run up and do scramblers or put up banners and stuff. And you don't want those to be your, you know, 5-10 man berserker units, because that's just a waste of a berserker unit.
No, I mean, it's either cultists, you know, some form of those cheap throwaway units like that. The Nurglings is a great one. I mean, if you can, you know, with chaos, it's almost, I find it very hard to look at chaos without considering Nurglings, and their ability to just forward deploy is just such a big deal. And their speed bumps enough that you can put them out there and then it causes problems. And like you said, you know, between scramblers and everything, I mean, a squad of cultists can do that. It's just, it's tough when you realize that you just spent 50 points just to get scramblers, like that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, I mean, it's really hard to fit certain realm of points for chaos and feel comfortable with it without feeling like you're just throwing it away, because you can get blocked out. I mean, you know, you could strategic reserve to try and get to scramblers, but if you get blocked out, you get blocked out. It's so much easier for you know, say Space Marines to do that with infiltrators, where infiltrators accomplish everything we're sitting here talking about. And then at the same time, they also block units out by 12 inches. And so it's just such a big deal. I really do think in regards to chaos, I think that those Nurglings are clutch. I do think that there's maybe something worth considering and maybe some cultists to put out there. But after that, I mean, if you're going for, and of course, I'm sitting here looking at more in a Khorne perspective. If I was going to do that, I mean, Raptors and Warp Talons are kind of like what I would think to be able to get out there fast enough, especially since World Eaters can do the nine inch movement out at the beginning of the game. I think that you could really push some of those jump pack infantry, but beyond that, I'm kind of waiting on two wound Chaos Space Marines, to be honest.
Just mark my words, shit, folks. So the things that people take to do the things you're talking about, Frenzy and Wolves are going to run all over them.
Yeah. If only they were the only issue is that they're, so the only thing that'll be holding them back from being like one of the best ones that are in the game is that they're not an infantry, they're beasts. So they can't do scramblers. They can't put up banners. But as for just for sheer just taking up space and getting in the way, being annoying, being frustrating. On top of that, they're very good at closing distance and tapping things, like tapping tanks and whatnot. You know,
that's not necessarily a big deal anymore.
Yeah, but we force the tank to have to shoot into the five Fenrisian walls rather than your five Thunderwolf Cav, even if they have to
buy a little extra time for
a couple of heavy bolters. Yeah, it makes a difference.
Yep. That's a fair point. And there's some stratagems that key off of the beast and stuff. And you were mentioning infiltrators earlier. You know, Space Wolves have access to all this kind of stuff. And even the Hounds of the Morkai, fresh new psychic killing unit.
Those guys are awesome.
They really are.
Yeah. I'm hoping this becomes a thing, though, with G-Dub. I'm hoping, like, all of the new releases get, like, the little special flavored thing on top.
Oh, yeah? Is that what you're hoping for, Adam?
Well, because there's not... I don't feel like there's enough...
I'm only saying this because I hope you're going to follow up with that you hope that Necrons get some kind of supplement, too.
You got a whole new codex. Totally. Like, actual.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get a single... How much did I have in Psychic Awakening?
You got a
new model, right?
I got a model, and you're telling me I can't get a supplement now? It's too much. It's too much,
cool.
Guys.
It would be cool.
And I'm talking from a guy's perspective who's getting a codex in a few weeks. You know, so.
That's right. Yeah, you're going to get something.
How cool would it be if, you know, you got a specialist Primaris unit that, you know, just to go with your codex? Because that's what Space Wolves got. Space Wolves got, oh, yeah, there's no specialized Primaris stuff to go with factions. So they specialized a Reaver to be a specialist Space Wolf unit. I like that. I like that a lot. I do agree, though. I would love to see, like, a Caesarican supplement or a, Revenge of the Stormcaller.
I don't want to wish list or speculate campaign, because then if I'm right, it's going to look awkward. So just want to.
Well, actually, sorry, Blood Angels already have. You've already got
Death Company, Sanguinary Guard. Intercessors. I mean, you're going to.
Well,
get
Death
it
Company
all.
Intercessors, don't they?
That's right. Yep, they do.
Yeah, so you guys already got it.
There we go.
Special Dreadnoughts.
So there's a 2CP stratagem called Pack Hunter. Use this stratagem in your charge phase. Select one enemy unit within engagement range of any Space Wolves units from your army. Until the end of the turn, each time a friendly Space Wolves Beast or Space Wolf Cavalry unit declares a charge that targets the selected unit, roll one additional d6 and discard one of the dice. That's one pip. It has another thing. Until the end of the turn, each time a friendly Space Wolves Cavalry model makes an attack with its crushing teeth and claws against a selected unit, and each time a friendly Space Wolves Beast model makes an attack with its teeth and claws against a selected unit, you can re-roll the wound roll.
Mm-hmm. This might be the... So notice a couple of things. This isn't one unit. This is you pick a unit of your enemies, and then everything that you declare a charge on gets the 3d6. Well, everything that's on a beast, yeah?
Yep. Cavalry or beast.
So it's every cavalry and beast. And do you know what I think this is? This is one thing we've seen that's died off a lot from the transition to 7th... transition to 9th from 8th, is the death of the multi-charge. People don't multi-charge anymore because you don't run the risk. This is the best multi-charge enabler I've seen. For just reaching out and touching a huge swathe of units. You can also be, you know, you got hunters, so you could have, is hunters plus one? Yeah, plus one advance and charge?
Yes. Swift hunters is...
So to get your hunters enabled, you know, you can just get a roll of 3d6, take the two highest with plus one from the guy who has the hunter waller trait and just get this top of turn one if you wanted to, in a lot of cases. But yeah, I think this is a phenomenally strong thing people are going to build around. This is a true...
You mean the hunter or warlord trait? I thought you were talking about swift hunter, and just so I don't get it wrong here. No, that is consolidation move to move an additional inch.
So swift hunters is the advance and charge? Hunters is plus one advance in charge, yeah?
That's the Warlord trait, yep.
Yep, yep. So that guy getting 3d6 plus one to a charge means that if turn one, God forbid this guy is a Master of Sanctity chaplain with already a plus two, 3d6 plus three charge, this guy is getting a 12, you know? He's getting a 12. He's going to make a 12-inch charge pretty reliably. And this is a big deal for making sure that Warlord trait gets off early and gets off consistently.
On top of that, he can be a Master of Sanctity because it needs to be a beast or beacon. He could be buffed by one of those.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Apologies. So it couldn't be directly him.
But, you know, tag along with it. Are you saying the Thunderwolf Lord's going to come back?
100%.
Okay.
Thunderwolf Lords are terrifying in this book. There's a thing called a Frost Weapon upgrade, which is like a special war gear upgrade. We don't talk about these much. These don't get a huge amount of looks in a lot of codexes because they're pretty negligible, unless you're like Mastercrafting and Crozies on the Smash Chappy.
With the special issue war gear, they've got a formula here. There's, you know, some armor, some bolter upgrades, you know, and then one little trinket that's good. But yeah, there's play in all of these.
The Frost Weapon upgrade is plus one strength and plus one damage. And you can upgrade a power weapon or two lightning claws, which is, I think, is where the power is.
Yeah.
You can have a Thunderwolf Lord with two lightning claws upgrade to frost claws. So he is strength five, minus two damage, rerolling to wound with, I think you can get him to like an obscene amount of attacks. And I like that combo a lot. That is a Space Marine problem solver.
So it adds one to the strength and damage characteristic of the weapon, and then it goes on to say, if this model is equipped with two lightning claws, improve the characteristics of both weapons.
Oof.
It's a big deal.
Oof, oof, oof. It's very powerful. And that's one of my favorite loadouts. That guy on a Thunderwolf with just the two lightning claws, it's very cheap. It's not many points you're putting into that guy, and then just one upgrade, and it goes to a whole new level.
The Pelt of the Beowulf, this is where on Rel. I know, look, we are jumping all over, but there's actually there's cool things in the Codex. I think the Codex...
It's an exciting book.
Space Wolf players should be happy.
I'm weird on the Codex. I think there is some... I love the fact that they've taken some things that haven't seen play in a long time, and they've just given them a whole new lease on life. I think Thunderwolf Cav are one of the premier bully boys in the game now, and that's just good. I think that's just good for the game, and that's good for Space Wolf players. Yeah,
they look cool. They're crowd favorites. Tell you what, let's take a break, and then we'll come back, talk about a couple of more stratagems, and we'll talk about a couple of relics, then we'll go on from there. See you in a minute.
Cool.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back. I still got Red and Adam here.
Hello.
He is still the reddest of the pals.
We're barreling through this book here. I mean, I know, again, I feel like we're a little bit scatterbrained jumping all around, but these are things that stack, and you got to look and how it applies and how to use it. But there's some things here that I think that are just powerful.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you can look at the comprehensive look of just running Space Wolves, and I think that there's a lot to that, because I do think that their doctrine's really good, especially if you're, you know, their dreadnoughts can give off the auras, they can essentially boost. I mean, they've got a lot of good things going on for themselves, their chaplains, I mean, all of it. You can run it just pure Space Wolves, and it'd be a good run. However, I do think what they can really do and take to another level, and Adam, I'll give you credit for this. I mean, just as Blood Angels used to be the Imperial ally of choice in a lot of other cases, I do think Space Wolves definitely step into, can contend for that role. I think that when you look at a patrol or something, just to get the units in there, you bring that captain with the Warlord trait so that he can give the charge bonus once he gets his saga. And then you look at Vanguard veterans, and then Vanguard vets with jump packs with, you know, okay, maybe a couple storm shields in there to help some durability. I mean, I've seen this. It was very recently, actually, and it was used to awesome effect very well. And that, you know, and then the rest of them have lightning claws, and they've got the, you know, they're going in there, they're hitting hitting on twos, they're re-rolling thanks to the captain, they're getting the advances on the chart, you know, they're doing all of that. And then we were just talking about it, you know, during the break, that stratagem to give them plus one to wound, even if you need it, and they're re-rolling to wounds because the lightning claws. I mean, these guys are going to tear stuff up, and you put that in conjunction with a lot of other units, and it's a lot of other armies, that Imperial armies, and you're putting that to the as a part of your toolbox, really. The utility is, I mean, it's awesome.
The stratagem is called Savage Strike, the one you just talked about, and it's a 1/2 CP stratagem. Use this stratagem in your fight phase when a Space Wolves unit from your army is selected to fight. If that unit makes a charge move this turn, then until the fight is resolved, each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack, add 1 to that attack's wound roll. If the unit has 5 or fewer models, the stratagem costs 1 CP, otherwise 2 CP.
Yeah, it's awesome. You put that on there and then throw those hounds, the Hounds of Mordkai, in there. And it's such a good anti-psyker component. I mean, outside of Sisters of Silence in 7th edition and 8th edition, the assassin, the Kaluxus assassin. I mean, these hounds are a whole new game when it comes to some of these psyker builds that are out there. I mean, you know, TJ, who's been on here before, he just did really well this last weekend with Chaos and T'Zinch specifically. So you know he's casting psyker powers. It's absolutely in the meta. Yeah, tons of them, right? It's absolutely in the meta to bring an anti-psyker component. And that's just, again, going back to the utility that comes along with Space Wolves. I really think they have a play in being this toolbox for all Imperial players to be able to tap into.
That's the good point. And we'll jump to that special issue war gear and then the hounds in just a second. There's a couple more stratagems here, like keen senses. Use a stratagem in your shooting phase, select one Space Wolves infantry, Space Wolves biker, or Space Wolves cavalry unit from your army. Until the end of the turn, you can ignore any and all hit roll, ballistic skill, and weapon skill modifiers. And each time you make a charge roll for that unit, you can ignore any or all modifiers to that charge. There's ways to get around stuff, ways to do extra stuff, ways to make sure whatever you want to do this turn is better than it would have been otherwise for any other chapter.
Yeah, and it's a way of getting back to or maintaining your hit on threes with things like Thunderhammer's Power Fist after the first round of combat. If you were to something super beefy, because of course you get +1 on the charge, so you don't need it on the turn on the charge. But let's say, you know, somebody's reactively put a Miasma or a Lightning Fast Reflexes on something. That's a very good way of maintaining a damage output. There's a term that
An interesting thing with the keen senses. Until the end of that turn, you can ignore any or all hit roll, so you don't have to ignore your +1.
Your +1. Any or all. It's the best terms and conditions of that kind of strategy that I've seen. You just choose which ones you don't want it. You don't like.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Get rid of all that crap. I'm going to get my +1. I mean, you can't.
There's a term that I like to use in 40K, and it's a term used in boxing a lot or combat sports. It's not letting it go to the judges. Like, don't let the contest go to the judges. Don't let the in 40K, we'll be don't let it go to the scorecards. Like, don't let it be a thing where you need to count up the scores at the end of turn 5 to see who's won. And a lot of spaceful stratagems are like, oh, you're killing, triple down on that killiness and don't let it go to the judges. Like, let there be a morale test. Don't let there be anything. Scorch the earth. Like, let them expire. Nothing left. And I kind of like that. A lot of times it's going to feel like overkill, but I'm a fan still.
No, that relentless assault stratagem, 1 CP. Look, I know we're talking, there's a lot of stratagems. You're going to be spending things left and right, but you start the game with a bunch. Don't do crazy. Keep your reserves high. You're going to get one back every turn. Do it. Use this stratagem in the fight phase. When the Space Wolves unit from your army consolidates, each model in that unit can move an additional 3 inches for that consolidation move. This is not cumulative with any other increase, distance, so on and so forth, like the normal. But again, pushing in, doubling down, being aggressive the whole way. And that's what I like. Is like when you go to shoot something, you're gonna pop a stratagem that lets you, like just like you said, shoot their pants off. When you go to the fight phase, you're going to ground them into hamburger, you know, and then you're going to be up on them when you're consolidating 6 inches.
Yeah, exactly right. There's a special issue war gear I was talking about before, which that led me into the discussion. These guys might be just a superb ally for a lot of things.
Yeah, is it the Mordkai's teeth bolts?
Yeah, you want to read that out for us, mate?
Yeah, when you give a model this relic, select one bolt weapon, see Codex Space Marines, that model is equipped with. When that model is chosen to shoot with, you can choose for that weapon to fire Mordkai's teeth bolt. If you do, you can only make one attack with this weapon. But if that attack scores a hit, the target unit is marked by Mordkai's unit, by Mordkai, until the end of the turn and the attack sequence ends. Each time an attack is made against a unit that has been marked by Mordkai, re-roll a wound roll of 1.
Wow. Now, that is very saucy to me. What do you guys think of the applications there? Like, just off the bat.
I mean, you can start off with that, you know, take like a, whether it's a Phobos captain or a lieutenant or something like that, that can essentially pick something well out of range, right? So I would want some kind of bolt weapon that's long range, allows me to just pick something off from a distance to get that effect applied, and then everything else that follows after that.
30
something
inches.
Like that. Yeah. Exactly.
Did you notice the restrictions here? Actually, it says until the end of the turn, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't say just shooting. Does it say just shooting phase?
Each
or
time
it
an attack
one?
Is made against a unit.
Yeah.
That is
so it works in combat as well. So you just mark them for the whole turn. Now, here's can you guys pick out the crazy bit here? The bit that makes this really saucy?
Well, it's not limited to space wolves. So, I mean.
Straight, it's not, man.
Yeah, no, there's no capital. There's no mention of only limited to space wolves. I mean, this goes all the way back to Doom and Jinx, you know, with Eldar shenanigans.
Like, technically, if they could shoot themselves, they would get this buff. Does it say allied units, or does it say any time an attack is allocated?
But if attack scores a hit, the target unit is marked by Morkai until the end of the turn, and the attack sequence ends each time an attack is made against a unit that is marked by Morkai.
So if for some reason you wanted to attack your own unit, if that was even something you could you'd get this buff too.
Because you somehow had some gene stealers in here and you'd be forced into it.
Yeah, I think it's actually a pretty big deal for a lot of factions. Well, so the Imperial Guard, yeah? It's very, very, very hard for us to get any interaction with the Wound Roll. Apart from like Vengeance for Cadia the Banner of Lost Cadia and things of that ilk, there's like no Wound Roll interactions. This adds that in. It just says, oh, here you go. You can have it. Yeah. On top of that, the same thing for Imperial Knights. Imperial Knights have little to no interaction with the Wound Roll.
Well, we're talking about things that these guys stick in really well for as allies to other Imperial factions. Mm-hmm. Imperial Knights, I think you're going to be strapped on points a little bit. Guard, I think a much better choice, and Punisher Cannons.
Yeah, for sure. A Punisher Cannons, I was thinking artillery as well. Like, I've been playing around a lot with the payload Manticores. Just getting, you know, winding on twos into toughness five marine bodies like Eradicators and stuff. Toughness five, rerolling ones. So wind on twos, rerolling ones. Is actually just a big, just a nice fat buff. It's nice.
Yeah, there's some juicy things here in this special issue war gear. And that kind of led us into we're talking about the allies to the Hounds of Morkai. Morkai's all over the place. Morkai's
everywhere.
Yeah.
They're not unique, right?
They are not. No.
So, that's frightening.
They
should be terrible.
They're 22 points a model, which is, I believe that's 4 points more a model over a regular Reaver. I think a regular Reaver is 18 points. But you look at what you're getting. You don't kill any better, to my knowledge. I was looking at them. I was like, these guys don't kill any better than regular Reavers. But man, you just get like three special rules. Just three layers of extra special rules you didn't have. And they automatically come with grapnel launchers, don't they?
They do, yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's already covering quite a few of that points increase, that points difference. And yeah, you're just like, ah, cool. And just anti-psycho at the wazoo, just cause. It's a nice little package.
So the Morkai's Howl is an aura of 18 inches. That's what makes this impressive. It's not 12, it's not 6. It's like, no, it is 18 inches. Which are, that's danger range. So while an enemy psyker unit is within 18 inches of this unit, subtract 1 from the psychic test taken for it. While that psyker unit is within 6 inches of this unit, subtract an additional 1 from the psychic test taken.
So it's like a better version of Shadow in the Warp.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm not sure you'll have to be an appropriate meta to make use of them. I don't think. The thing is, like, the psyker is not a huge thing in the meta at the moment. Like Grey Knights are good, but not incredible. They're quite good, but not off their guts or anything. But whereas T-Suns aren't making a huge impact. Of course, demons are. But yeah, like, this is only going to increase. Like, when Nids get a codex, this will get better. When a Craftworld gets a codex, this will get better. When Orcs get a codex, this will get better. So yeah, I think these guys are only going to increase in value and efficiency.
Here we go. They had the grapnel launchers to give them out.
Yeah.
So not infiltrate, but outflank.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like the little bit of flavor they add to it. I'm liking quite a few of the units in the book. I think there's been a bit of a internal pivot within Space Wolves as from this codex. I feel like Wolfen got a little bit worse in this one, but Thunderwolf Cav just shot through the ceiling. Thunderwolf Cav are so phenomenally good. The advance and charge is, I can't overstate how big that is for them.
Agreed. And, you know, big fat woundy bodies with, I mean, they still get all the weapon options, right? I guess that's a question. Can you still kind of kit them out as to your liking?
Yeah, you can still kit them out to your absolute heart's content. Of course, only melee weapons or pistols. But the fact that the Astartes Chainsword got infinitely better with adding a rend on there is pretty good. I actually quite like them. Like, you take a bunch and then you take a five man. I'm not sure I take a six man because their big bases with the coherency issues might become a pain because they are on 50s or 60s? I've got a feeling they're on 60s.
60 millimeter bases.
It's a huge base to try and keep within two of every other dude. And so, five mans also dodge the Inceptor issue being under the six. But I like a couple of them, like maybe two of them with just Storm Shield Chainsword. You know, they still kill just fine into most of the things you're going to be charging into turn one, turn two. And then they're the first ones to die. The rest of the guys have like Thunder Hammers, Power Fists, or Lightning Claws. And I think that's a really nice combo.
I haven't thought about this, about how the Storm Shield change affects these guys. I mean, I'm sure it is the same way for everyone else, but I used to just kind of bank on them having that 3+ invulnerable, and you take it all the time. Now, with it being a 4+ invulnerable and giving them a 2+ armor save, do you take them all? Do you take them for everybody anymore?
I don't know if you need them for everybody necessarily. I mean, that's kind of the thing. You know, I'll lament for Space Wolf players here to an extent that Thunder Wolf Cav used to be a big deal. I think the index might have gotten some people's hopes up in certain regards because it looked like there were stratagems in that people thought Thunder Wolf Cav were going to be really running with it headed into 9th edition. And then some of those stratagems weren't in the 9th edition supplement when it came out. And so it kind of was a little bit of a downer. But, you know, rallying on it, though, the ability to advance and charge, everything that you said, Adam, is spot on in regards. I really do think that there's something to these guys and really being able to lock an army down, especially for those of us, you know, the multi-charge isn't as much of a deal as it is about phasing in your assault phase. Phasing it in, you know, there's an alpha charge, there's a beta charge, there's a third, you know, a third order effect to everything. And the ability to get the Thunder Cav in there is just, I mean, even if it's led by the wolves or whatnot, the Cav are going to be able to hit it. And then the rest of your army is going to be able to catch up to them.
Mm. And look, I'm of the opinion that the Thunder Wolf Cav are so good. There's actually not a wrong loadout for them. I think you can just take about any loadout. Just take them stock. Just take the 45 point bolt pistol chainsword. They're still going to do well.
Stratagem, 1 CP. Let you do a heroic intervention with a unit if it within 6 inches, cost 0 CP if that unit is a character.
Which gives back the character what they had in the last chapter tactics. So for those of you who weren't around or didn't pay attention, their old chapter tactic used to be characters can intervene 6 inches instead of 3, but now they changed that to everything in the book gets to intervene. But now for zero CP, a character can go back to that 6-inch intervention. This is where I feel like Space Wolves differentiate themselves from other aggressive armies. So you think about Orcs, yeah? Orcs, it's actually really funny that when you think about contending with Orcs, a lot of people go to the how Space Marines in the Horus Heresy used to contend with Orcs, the tip of the spear thing. Go for the war bosses, go for the things that are giving them leadership buffs so you can make them run away, you can make them crack, they won't get all their extra attacks, etc., or their, you know, war past and to jump, whatnot. You can't have that same tactic with Space Wolves. Space Wolves will, like, if you try to go aggressively into Space Wolves, the whole army will collapse on you and you'll get eaten, not them.
I brought this up now when we're talking about the Thunder Wolves. It's like, so they just got done with another unit. You feel like they're out of position. You're trying to mount some type of counter offense, and then boom, they countercharge you.
I think it's a crazy hard thing to get your head around and contend with, which I think is very fun from both a player and opponent's point of view. It gives a nice challenge if I'm playing like a semi-aggressive army. I'm like, I got to hold them at bay longer than I usually would, because when I think they're ripe for getting countercharged, I'm still going to get destroyed, you know?
Yeah. Again, I know you guys got some reservations about the strength of the book and how it holds up maybe long term, but I think in the short term it's going to be a good day to be a Space Wolf.
Oh, for sure.
I think long term too. I think that as we see with Marines have the endurance and the resiliency to roll with the punches. So you may load up really high or deep on this stuff right now of the cavalry, the chargey stuff, and that do all these cool things. And then when people figure it out, you're like, you know what? I am still a Marine. Let me just do all this Marine stuff.
A couple of the gripes, I guess, I had with it, and I think the things that are going to bother me in its longevity, is the most powerful thing that I feel like Space Marines have is the Apothecary, and Space Wolves don't get the Apothecary. So I feel like you'll go into a like-for-like fight, like Space Wolves versus White Scars. Say, you know, that's a pretty equivalent fight. Admittedly, White Scars probably shoot a little bit better than Space Wolves, just because the units you want to take. But Space Wolves obviously fight quite a bit better and, you know, have all the interventions and stuff. The difference is the White Scar stuff comes back to life and the Space Wolves don't. I just wonder how much of a limiting factor that's going to be over time.
Yeah, see, I mean, I guess You are right. But what space wolves are really good at is killing things. So they're going to kill the stuff that got killed. The stuff that gets brought back, they're going to kill it again. And they're going to kill the thing that's bringing the stuff back.
They're going to kill you. They're going to kill your cousin that's and right. your uncle.
They may kill the army plane on the table next to you.
Yeah, you can tell which one of us is the Blood Angels player.
I just think, I am also skeptical, or somewhat fearful, with Super Apothecary on the loose, that is, one of your jobs is to remove that. But I think that there's enough fast movement here. I can tell you that people just don't get away from you the way that they think that they're going to get away from you. They're going to run out of chaff units, either because you can jump over them or, they don't want to sacrifice their high value points or they're splitting off to go perform some task or something on the table. You're going to kill that apothecary.
Yeah.
You got to believe.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just not sure how it's going to pan out over time. I think right now, spatials are just going to terrify. They're going to be an absolute terror. They're going to terrorize people.
Yeah, I think this is one of those happy things where people can break out the stuff they've had for the last three or four editions and play with it, and it's going to do well.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that back during the people were on their regular running 30 Frenzying Wolves. Now maybe it doesn't play out to where you run 30 of them, but you can certainly run five units of five.
Absolutely.
For next to no points, and you're going to anybody who brings on what's that?
You mean 3 units of five?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, three units of five or 3 units of 8. A lot. You can run a lot. You can run these things. You have cyber wolves, and then you've got the regular wolves. But what I'm saying is, the people that are bringing these small units to perform these actions and stuff, these will really kill them. You have heavy hitters in your army that are doing things the whole time. They're up there charging. They're counter charging. They're pushing in further on the consolidate, so it's harder for people to screen things, and then they have fast movement to go around things in some situations. And then when they just can't get too far around, they're going to roll 3d6 and drop the lowest.
Yeah, that is really the thing that's going to mess with people. Like when you get 3 units of Thunderwolf Cav up in someone's grill, or a couple of characters and Thunderwolf Cav, and you pick the unit behind the one you want to charge, and then everything 3d6 is you can pick the one in front of the one you want to charge, and then you get a leapfrog to charge into the one you actually wanted to charge into, which is what I was talking about with saying that this is a really good multi-charge enabler, because you don't need to fully combat that one. You can use that extra d6 to leverage into the thing behind them, into the thing they were screening off for.
Yeah, you still have to be able to make it, which I know that's not what you're suggesting, but I'm just saying for clarity, you still got to be able to make everything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. But you could have plus 3 to that charge. And so you're going to, on 3d6 with, a potential reroll when that you really clutch need to, and let's say you've got four units doing that, two or three of them are going to make it, and you're so killy, you don't care, if two don't, like you just said.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm digging it. I think there's some play here. I do think the Space Wolf players should be at least happy about what the impact they're going to make on the table right now if you're getting the opportunity to play. We didn't even talk about any of their psychic powers. There's a whole other section of this book that we have not spoken about.
Worst named psychic discipline ever, just putting it out there.
Is it still the Tempestus?
It's Tempestas.
So no, that's the thing that gets me, is that it's spelled differently than the Tempestus Scions,
which would have been far better. And it's a good tree, though. There's three good powers in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe should we save that for the next time?
Up to you.
We can save that.
There is one I want to talk about.
All right, well, hit us, yeah.
It's the same one that was good in their 8th edition index, which is the bubble up of cover.
Well, one sec. Before you do that, what I was going to talk about that might have eaten our time, but we'll make time for everything. The Hounds of Morkai, we mentioned it earlier, but that's only enemy psychers. So you can still cast your own psychic powers and be good.
Hypocrites.
Yeah, it's not like one of those it's only enemy psychic powers.
And that's a big deal, because that's why people don't take Alexis Assassins, unless you're running an army with zero psychers in it. Otherwise, you're debuffing, you're hurting yourself just as much as you're hurting them.
Yeah. So what's your one? I think there is we'll probably talk about a couple while we're talking about. What do you think is the best one?
Storm's Call. Is that what it's called? It's number 5.
Stormcaller. Yeah.
Stormcaller. So that's the bubble of give light cover in a 6-inch aura around the caster. That plus the storm shield change mean you can have 1+ armor Thundercav.
This is what I was talking about earlier when I was saying investing into Santa.
Yeah. Yep. Santa with a 1+ armor save. Like, it's a thing. He's not going anywhere. He's very hard to shift. You can't just put bolters into these guys and expect to do anything. You can't put rend 1 bolters into these guys and expect to do anything. And I think that's the big deal. It really kind of takes a lot of the doctrine, the really potent doctrine stuff off the table. And when you're shooting massed -2 into them, as it would be like an assault cannon with doctrines, whatever, they're still getting that 3+ invuln they would have had without the storm shield change. So I think it's a big deal. I think it's a really, really good power.
Yeah. I think this Murderous Hurricane is not bad either. Murderous Hurricane, Warp Charge is 6. These are all super easy to cast. If you are like Najal, you're casting basically without even trying. If that unit is not wholly on or within a terrain feature, the unit cannot fire Overwatch.
Nuts.
That's just one thing it does. Then the second thing it does, in the fight phase, this unit is not eligible to fight until after all eligible Space Wolf units from your army have done so.
There's the money. You notice that's an interesting wording on that, isn't it? It's all eligible Space Wolf units.
Yeah, not that charged.
Yeah.
Yeah, not within 6-inch range or something, you know.
But that's different from their other ones. Their other ones say, like, it has to fight last. This one just says it has to fight after all your stuff, which essentially is the same deal. But yeah, I wonder if that's going to be the new wording on these fight last things. They could take away the fight last and just say, has to fight after all your stuff.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe it's a little bit cleaner. I like that power a lot. I mean, with terrain being what it is, it's also, you know, it's difficult like to play around that, because I don't know that you're going to have whole units all the time, wholly within or on cover.
Yeah, so there was a change to the Armor of Rust, which is what people would usually use this for. Armor of Rust got changed from being an aura to being you pick one unit within engagement range after at the start of the fight phase.
Yeah, but it still does all its other stuff. So
it's still incredible. Like, you're still going to take it. But the thing is, like, just take this too, you know? Just have two right. units you do it to. And don't True. Have, like, so so you can try and zone out that guy with the Armor of Rust. He has to go into a unit of 10 guardsmen rather than the unit of 9 Bulgren. So he can't make the Bulgren fight last, which is what you don't want to have happen, is them interrupt. This just lets you get around it. Be like, hey, take it. Once again, don't let it go to the judges. They're fighting last.
Yeah, you just talking about the Armor of Rust. Bearer has a save characteristic of 2+ and 4+ and vulnerable save. At the start of the fight phase, you can select one enemy unit within engagement range of the bearer. The unit is not eligible to fight this phase until after all eligible units from your army have done so.
Mm. Was there another thing there? Another dot point?
Just the safe stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
It's all the armor.
It's still amazing value.
Yeah.
It's still amazingly good, especially with a 0 CP 6-inch intervention.
Yeah.
Remember
Spooning
that.
Up there. Sorry. Nobody's fighting.
For 0 CP, you can just be like, alley-oop, and just jump around a flank of something and just be like, nah, sorry, mate, you charged me, but you're fighting last. Game over, son. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. So several powers are good. I'd like to, I don't want to necessarily bore you with going down all of them, but Instincts Awoken doesn't stink. The blessing, Instincts Awoken has a warp charge value of 6. It manifests as like one friendly Space Wolves unit within 18 inches of the Psyker until the start of your next Psyche phase. Each time a model in that unit makes an attack, the Assault Doctrine is considered to be active for the attack instead of the currently active Doctrine. If the Assault Doctrine is already active for your army, then on an unmodified wound of 6, improve the armor penetration characteristic of that attack by 1. This is cumulative with other bonuses from the Assault Doctrine.
Wow. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. I think you can play and compete in all phases of the game. That's one of the things I've actually always liked about Space Wolves, is you could technically build an army built completely around psychic if you wanted to. You could build something completely around fighting if you want. You could build something completely around shooting if you want.
Mm.
Or you can blend them all three and be good.
And I will say, with the opening up of them getting access to everything in a Space Marines book, that's never been more true.
Massive.
Mm. Yep. I've said it several times. This is ain't bad.
No, it's not bad, man. Oh. Another gripe. I really like what they did with the flyers. The flyers are both the rules and the profiles on the flyers are both really good, but the points are way too high.
Oh, you think they're a billion points?
They start at 300. They start at 300 points apiece and go up from there.
They suffered that beforehand too, so at least the Space Wolves players are used to that. I know that's a small concession.
Yep.
You mentioned our buddy Mr. Lanigan before. We're talking about his win this past weekend, and he great with a lot of psychic stuff, a lot of tricksy chaos stuff that he's talked about before. And I mentioned, like, oh man, I'm so pumped about taking the Fire Raptor. And he mentioned that you shouldn't be taking vehicles because Eradicators exist.
Yeah, and it's not just Eradicators. So attack bikes, ATVs, Eradicators. There's just, and then that's not even counting all the different sister of battle units that are bringing Melta as well. There's just so much Imperial Melta out there right now. It's out of control.
I agree. It is actually out of control. They need to go up in points, I think. Melta is actually just a little bit too good right now, but you which is nice because I didn't take a single Melta gun for all of like 8th edition. I snapped them all off and stuck plasma guns on them.
Yeah, it's cool to shake it up, but I'm going to play the Fire Raptor this weekend.
I'll let you know how it goes.
I played 4 games against Sisters this weekend just going, and oh, I'm still stinging. Man.
Yeah. Oh, so they whooped you pretty good?
Yeah, well, we traded wins. We went 2-2, but geez, the ones I did win, he had to make mistakes, and they were hard. And the ones I lost, I got pretty pummeled. Well, yeah. First time a full squad of Repentia made it into something, I was like, oh, wow, this is what Kraken Steelers wish they were.
That's cool that they're doing well.
They're just ladies with no armor and big swords, and they just go through you like a hot knife through butter. It's actually fearsome. And they cross distance really quickly. They like cross really quickly. It's scary.
What gets them there?
So they got so you can use a miracle dice on the advance, and for a CP you can make them advance and charge. So you can make them go auto 12 and then charge, and of course you can use a miracle dice on the charge as well. So you can pretty much guarantee a min 7-inch charge. So you use a 6 for the mirror, use a 6 for the advance, use 1-6 as one of your dice for the charge, and then you just have to roll a 1 and you'll auto make a 19-inch move in your turn.
With the miracle die, do you claim the miracle die before you roll, or do you sub it in after the roll?
Yeah, before you roll.
Okay.
It'd be far too good if you can roll and then just sub one in. Although I think you can pay CP to do that.
I think so too. I think it's been a bit. We may be wrong, but there may be a stratagem to do that.
It's just been a bit since I've looked at it. But I've started to kind of accumulating sisters just like as kill teams and that kind of stuff. But then you turn around a couple of times like, hey, you can't take 3 exorcists in a kill team game, but yet somehow I own them.
I think it's just as intended.
All going according to plan. I have eventually I'll stop griping about the Silent King.
Oh, dear.
But I'm coming behind Red in his journey. And I will say everything that Red has said has come to pass in that I put together the 2 cryptechs, and they're like 150 pieces each.
Nice.
You know, maybe 12 at the most. Maybe
one part is one finger.
That's true.
Technically, it's a thumb and an index finger. It's 2 fingers.
Yep.
You have to assemble the whole chest.
Not just that. Don't forget the like small piece of the shoulder and the neck.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to connect the neck bone to the shoulder bone.
Yeah,
they did go together. It took a little time. I would say anybody who's out there doing it, I try to suggest plastic glue for plastic things. I think for these figures and a couple of pieces on this kit, you're going to want to go with super glue because you'll get a faster bond to keep it in place. And that's it. So, you know, recognizing that before you have glue all over your fingers and pieces that don't line up together and you're sitting there holding them forever. That's the takeaway. That's the finishing move segment, the hobby segment.
Nice.
Knowing when to switch adhesives.
Is it time for me to hand pass my crazy cool Space Wolves conversions?
Do it.
Second. All right. So I had this idea ages ago. So I was a diehard Ogre Kingdoms player in fantasy, and I had a huge surplus of trades that I did to get Ogre Kingdom stuff that I was never going to use, like extra Stonehorns and Thunder Tusks and Mournfang. Because there's only so many Mournfang every man needs, you know? And once you scratch the itch is scratched. I thought about doing a Space Wolves successor that was like on Fenris, but used like woolly mammoth-esque aesthetics instead of wolf stuff. Hence, like Logan is mounted on a Stonehorn instead of being on his chariot. Same rules, same everything. You can use the same Logan model if you wanted to, or go crazy and convert your own everything. Thunderwolf Cab on Mournfang instead of being on Fenrisian wolves. Things of that ilk. I felt like there was a whole lot of like those two model ranges go together really well. Like the Howder, I did some measurements. The Howder on the back of the Stonehorn is very comparable to the one that Logan rides. You could actually even take that sled off and then with some green stuff and some modifications and stuff, put that onto the Howder piece on the back of the Stonehorn. You probably need to do some bits and pieces, but it like aesthetic wise, it doesn't look that far off. They're all kind of Nordic and Viking-esque already with all the tassels and the skulls weaved into the Stonehorde's pelt. It's even got Nordic shields on its shoulders as well. That can look very well in place for that aesthetic. And I thought this was a crazy idea that I didn't know if I'd ever have the time to get off the ground. Plus, I wasn't playing 40K at the time.
And by the time I was playing 40K, Space Wolves successors didn't exist. So, you know.
Exactly right. So it was just going to be Space Wolves different. Space Wolves light. So yeah, I was wondering if anybody wanted to pick up that, if you've got a bunch of those aesthetics lying around, or if you're just looking for a bigger waste of time and money, by all means, jump on it, because I think that'd be a really cool looking army.
Hey, if they weren't looking for that, they wouldn't have made it to the end of this podcast.
It's true, because that's all they get at the end of this podcast, baby. It's gold. That's where we give out the gold.
Well, gentlemen, thank you all for joining me. This has been a fun jump to the Space Wolves, and I think that next episode, well, there'll be a preview in between the time we've recorded this and the time that's when we talk about the preview, and I think we need to come to the table with a Death Watch and a Space Wolf army list.
Nice. Do we want to put out a prediction for the preview? So who's cuisine or reign supreme? Who's the closest?
Give me your single prediction. What do you think we'll see? Risky prediction. I don't want to hear we're going to see some Nurgle stuff. What's your risky prediction?
We'll get Slaanesh models. So model Slaanesh AOS units.
Okay.
Man, that's so you went the safe route, Adam. I'm going to go. That wasn't risky at all. I want AOS Dark Elves, like more than just Daughters of Cain. I want Malyrian in Age of Sigmar.
So you reckon he's the Decadence?
I want him, the Dark God, right. The Shadow
right.
God.
You're right. That is far less likely. all right, we'll see who wins. And if you win, like, I will bow down to you in every way. That would be a phenomenal pick.
I hope I win, man.
Yeah.
Good luck to the both of you. We'll see y'all next week.
See ya.
May the models be ever in your favor.
Baby in the corner.